open your Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. I want to speak tonight, bring a few thoughts on the second coming of Christ. Beginning in verse 6, we'll read through verse 12. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, Jesus, these are his disciples asking him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. I want to share with you some of the things that I learned in a study I became involved in. I don't want to give you a Greek lesson tonight, but sometimes I study some things and I get such a blessing out of my studies that I want to share them. So these are not original. They're just blessings that I received that I want to pass on to you and let you enjoy these as I did. I had a delightful study on the second coming of Christ and picked up some good ideas, because I think all of us believe in the imminent return of Christ. We cannot, as Christians, look out and see the condition that the nations of the world are in today and not know that the coming of Christ draweth nigh. It's a divine truth. And that's our blessed hope. You may want to make some notes tonight. You have a copy of the bulletin there. There's room to write on that, to write down some scriptures. I may give some scriptures that you may want to go back later and read and meditate on. And you may even want to write down some of these Greek words. There are 9 tonight that I want to give you. So my sermon has 9 points, you might say. In John chapter 14, verse 3, Jesus himself gave us his personal promise and said, I will come again. We can be assured that he will. He'll keep his word. And in the same chapter, in verse 18, he speaks of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we know that after Jesus ascended, we just read about it here in Acts chapter 1, that 10 days after that, the Holy Spirit did come on the day of Pentecost. And Acts chapter 2 tells us what happened there in Jerusalem, about 3,000 people getting saved and baptized that day. It was a terrific day. Jesus told us that he was going to come, and he used the word we in verse 23 of John 14. He said, we will come unto him, the person that believes on him. We, he and the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now there is a sense in which Jesus is with us now. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. It's difficult sometimes for us to picture Jesus in his attribute of omnipresence, that he's able to be in all places at all times. Sure, he's our advocate with the Father, our great high priest after the order of Melchizedek in heaven. Yes. But he's also with us. And the Holy Spirit is with us. And the Holy Spirit is in us. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. That was one of the promises Jesus made too. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So let's not get confused when we talk about Christ and his coming and his being here with the second coming of Christ, with the return of Christ. I want to show you some of these delightful words from the Word of God. And I want you to remember that our New Testament, with the possible exception of the book of Matthew, they say was originally written in Hebrew. Matthew was one of Christ's apostles, you know. But all the rest of the New Testament was written in the Greek language. And it was not translated into our English language until the year 1525. Now that's a long time. 1,525 years. And it was in that year that William Tyndale published 3,000 copies of the first printed New Testament in the English language. If you had one of them, you couldn't read it, probably, because it's the Old English. It's kind of like the original King James Version. Miles Coverdale produced the first complete printed English Bible 10 years after Tyndale in 1535. And our King James Version was first published in 1611, about 400 years ago. And the language has changed considerably since that time as well. I could wish that I could go back into the original Greek language and read and understand the Bible. But I can't. I have to take somebody else's word for it. Is what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing tonight. We're talking about the coming of Christ. There's the first word I want to give you is ho, erkomenos, H-O, E-R-C-H-O-M-E-N-O-S. Now that term means the one who is coming, or the coming one. When that word is used of the coming of Christ, it refers to him personally. It centers on the person more than the event itself. Jesus is coming. And John the Baptist used this term in Matthew 11, verse 3. When John was put into prison by Herod, John began to wonder if Jesus was the Messiah, so he sent a couple of his disciples over there to ask him, "Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus answered that and sent them word again to John that indeed he was. They asked him this question. Here's the scripture. "Art thou he that should come? Are you the one?" We're talking about the person. Are you the person? The one that should come, or do we look for another? And that's where this word is used. It's also used in Matthew chapter 21, verse 9. There were a multitude of people who were coming into the city of Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Passover. And as they were all coming in, it was like a Los Angeles traffic jam with all the people walking. And here is a man blocking the way. He's riding on a little donkey that's never been ridden before. Some people put some clothes on its back as a padding. He didn't have a saddle. And he was sitting on their clothes on the back of this donkey coming into town. And all of the people began to cry out, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now that's his, what we call the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And as he was coming into town with them, "Blessed is he that cometh." They're talking about the one, not the event of his coming, but they're talking about the person who's coming, and that word was used. You don't get that whenever you just read in our English language Bible. Because if you know any other languages, Brother Sam, I'm sure he and Betsy know the Portuguese language, and they know the Spanish language and a little bit of the English language and this. And you know that in other languages there are sometimes two or three words that are used in place of one English word. They have meanings and they have shades of meanings, and that's what we're talking about here. And then when this Greek word is used, it's speaking of the one, the person who is coming. It's also used in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, where it says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry." It's talking about the one who's coming. Number two, erchomai, E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. Now when that word was translated into English, they translated it come or coming, but it refers to the act of coming from one point to another. Like Jesus, when he came into the world, he came from heaven and he came to earth. From and to. And that's what this word come means. And it's used over and over. I want to just give you some of them to show you. Matthew 24:30. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Mark 14:62. Ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Now remember that that's the act of coming from one place to another. Luke 21:27. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. John 14:3, where Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. What was he talking about in the context? In my Father's house are many mansions. See, I'm coming from my Father's house with many mansions back to the earth, and I'm going to receive you, and I'm going to take you back with me. That's what that word coming implies here. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. 2 John 7. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Jude 14, about Enoch. Enoch prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints from one place to another. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Chapter 22:7. Behold, I come quickly. Chapter 22:12. Behold, I come quickly. Chapter 22:20. Surely I come quickly. And that's the word that's used about his coming from one place to another. He's coming from heaven. Now, number three, Catabeno. Don't you like my Texas accent on my Greek? I'll tell you. Catabaino. Translated, coming. When that word is used, it denotes a coming down or descending. And it emphasizes the direction in the act of his coming. You see all these little things? He's coming, but coming where? You look this way, you look that way. He's coming down. Watch this. John 6:38 is used. For I came down from heaven. See, that word is used of his coming down, the direction of his coming. As to the second coming, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall, and here it's translated, descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Descend, come down. The fourth word, heko, H-E-K-O. And when the word heko is used, it denotes the result. in the act of his coming. It means that one has arrived. It's used in connection with his first coming in John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said, I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. I like that. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And the same words used in relation to his second coming in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3. That's where Jesus was having John write some letters to the churches, and to the church at Sardis, he was to write this. He says, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Now see, that's the result of the act of his coming upon him. A next one, number 5, is parousia. P-A-R-O-U-S-I-A. And when that word is used and translated come in our English language, it means that he has arrived. It means his presence is with us. It's used in outside of the biblical language. Whenever a king, a ruler, would visit one of his a city somewhere in his territory, the king is coming. We sing a song about that. The king is coming, and that would mean that he has arrived. Parousia. The Christians used it when they spoke of the arrival and the presence of Christ on the earth. Like over in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? His presence, his arrival. Word number 8 is number 6 is apocalypsis. A-P-O-K-A-L-U-P-S-I-S. And that word means to unveil or uncover. Apocalypsis. It's usually translated revelation in the Bible. And it relates, as it relates to the second coming of Christ, it's rendered appearing in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Here's the way he uses it. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, your faith now, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The apocalypsis, to unveil or uncover when Christ comes. It's translated coming in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 7, where it says, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, waiting for the unveiling, the revelation of Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, John begins this book of Revelation. He says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is unveiled in the book of Revelation. He's uncovered. We see him in heaven. We see him in all of his glory. We see him exercising his power and his authority over all things. Word number 7 is Pnero, Phanero. Pnero, it means to bring out into the open and make clear and plain that which previously existed but was not known. Isn't that amazing? To bring out into the open, to make clear and plain that which previously existed but was not known. John 21, verse 1. After his resurrection. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. You remember that, don't you? These disciples had been fishing all night. They hadn't caught any fishes. And Jesus was standing on the shore, and he called out across the water and asked them if they'd caught any fish. And they shouted back and said, "No, we fished all night and caught nothing." And then he hollered back and says, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat." And they did, and they caught a whole net full of fishes, didn't they? And that, then when they brought them ashore, they counted them, and Jesus had a good breakfast already fixed there for them. And that's what it's talking about. After these things, Jesus showed himself unto the disciples. He brought out into the open and made clear and plain that which previously existed. See, in between that appearance, he had been crucified, buried, rose from the dead. Now he's showing himself alive. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, I like this one too. When Christ, who is our life, he is our life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Christ is the life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When Jesus comes, we're going to be changed. We're going to be glorified and caught up to meet him in the air. He's going to bring out into the open and make clear and plain that which previously existed but was not known. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. That word is used when it speaks about the manifestation of Christ. When God became flesh and dwelt among us, and he became the sacrifice for our sins. That which was not known previously existed, for he stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But now he's being unveiled. First John chapter 1 verse 3. For the life Christ was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Previous existence, not known until he revealed himself to us. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Beloved, now, right now, you and I, we are the sons of God. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Can you see that in there? It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, I'll tell you, this is going to be wonderful. It's a known fact that hasn't been revealed to us yet. That's the change that'll take place. Number 8. Epiphiano. 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 It means to bring to light, to full visibility. Disability. Where did I get that? Visibility. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, Christ's first coming, it speaks of our salvation and our calling, which is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Wow. You see that? To bring light to full visibility. Christ abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light. How? Through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel that we've been commanded to go into all the world and preach to every creature. You're the light of the world. And the entrance of his words brings light, illumination. That word's also used of his second coming to denote the brightness of his glory on the earth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 8. Then shall that wicked one be revealed. That's the Antichrist. He's going to be revealed. He's going to be unveiled. Everybody's going to see him for what he is. Then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. To bring to light, to full visibility, he's going to destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. Thinking about the brightness of his glory over in Revelation chapter 21 verse 23. Talks about the city of New Jerusalem coming down from heaven, from God. And the Bible says it has no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He's going to be the light of the new Jerusalem. His presence, his epiphiano to bring light. It's also used in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. When Paul was there in the Roman jail, waiting to be executed. Whenever he wrote and said, I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith. Remember that? I'm now ready to be offered. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. To bring to light, to full visibility. Let's close with this one, number 9. Horao, H-O-R-A-O. This word means to see with the eyes. Horao. It's used of the physical sight. In particular, the sight that will greet the seeing eyes of mankind at the second coming of Christ. It was used of Christ at his first coming in John 6:36. That's when he had a lot of disciples and he gave them this discourse on the bread of life. And a lot of them turned and walked no more with him. And Jesus said of them, he said, ye also have seen me and believe not. Horao, to see with the eyes. They had seen him, but they didn't believe in him. So they turned their backs and walked away. It's used again in Luke 24:34, when after his resurrection from the dead, the disciples were gathered together in the upper room and they were talking about it and what the women had heard and seen and such as this. They hadn't seen the Lord yet. Pretty soon he's going to appear in their midst, but he hasn't yet. But they were talking, and one of them pops up and says, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And that's the only reference that we have about that single appearance of Jesus to Simon Peter. We know that the women saw him there. After they had left the tomb, Mary Magdalene saw him. We talked about that. But the disciples hadn't seen him yet. All they just heard. And somebody said, yeah, he appeared to Simon Peter. Peter saw him with his natural eyes. And we see it in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. This was in our Sunday school lesson this morning, one of the three appearances of Christ. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And that appear means that they will see him with their eyes. Personal identity of Jesus at his return is assured. if you're standing out here in the parking lot and all of a sudden there's a bright light that appears up here in heaven, and this glorious figure that you see descends out here, lands in the middle of our parking lot, you won't have to ask him, "Are you Jesus?" Because you'll know him. You'll see him as he is. The Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's not sending an angel or John the Baptist or anybody else. The Lord himself. That means this same Jesus that we read there in Acts 1. This same Jesus. We're talking physical visibility. When he ascended, we read it, the disciples stood there gazing up into heaven. They watched him go up. They saw him with their natural eyes as he went up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And these two men said, "He shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." So, when he comes, Revelation 1:7, every eye shall see him. Natural eyes shall see him. And we shall see him as he is when he comes again. I hope you got something out of that tonight. It was such a blessing to me to think about the coming of Christ. All of these little nuances and Greek words that portray a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. He's coming. He's coming. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Remember Wednesday night, our Bible study, 6 o'clock. And next Saturday night, down at the country church at 6 o'clock, the singing. And you'll get to hear Brother John Simpson sing again. Amen. All right. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Sam Burton, will you lead us in a benediction, please?
Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this study this evening. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are coming again.
Amen.
As the apostles looked up, this same Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you indeed for your person and the event, the beginning and the end and the purpose and the apocalypse,
hey,
the parousia and epiphany, and all these things that express the reality, the blessing of your coming again. So, Lord, we do believe that there is nothing in prophecy that has to really be fulfilled before your coming.